Here's Pastor Brian as he begins this week's study.
Welcome to the program today and all this week where you're looking at Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 17, whereas last week we looked at the first 11 verses of this wonderful chapter. In verses 12 and 13, we're focusing on the fact that we are no longer debtors to the flesh, but to live according to the Spirit. Verses 12 and 13 read this way, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." And we covered those two verses yesterday in our program, but we were not able to get to the idea of what it means to put to death the deeds of the body. And our program today will focus on this topic as well as give you some practical advice on how to do that. To set this in the context, Paul has been telling us of the wonderful blessings that belong to us in Jesus Christ in the first 11 verses. Then at verse 12, he switches and begins to exhort us to live a godly life in light of all that the Lord's already accomplished as recorded in the first 11 verses. We are now encouraged, exhorted through the power of the Holy Spirit to put to death the deeds of the body. So let's look at what it means to put to death the deeds of the body. First of all, let me tell you what it's not. It is not masochism, inflicting pain to the body. Early in church history, men tried to do that by bringing their body into subjection through painful means. That's not at all what Paul is talking about. Nor is it asceticism, which means resisting or resenting the natural bodily appetites that we have, not neglecting the normal desires that are given to us by God. Nor is it to destroy the body or the flesh itself, but the focus is here on is to destroy or put to death the deeds of the body, the desires of the body, those things that are contrary to the Lord. Stott, in his commentary, helps us understand what it means to put the deeds to death. He says this, "It is rather a clear-sighted recognition of evil as evil, leading to such a decisive and radical repudiation of it that no imagery can do it justice except putting it to death." And so here we're exhorted in strong language that the only way to handle these deeds is to put them to death. We need to see how evil sin is and deal with it and see that death is the only thing it deserves. As we're told in verse 12, we're not obligated any longer to carry out the deeds of the body. The word put to death in verse 13 is the Greek word thanatao. And the lexicon gives it the definition to kill someone, hand someone over to be killed, especially of the death sentence and its execution. So Paul says we're not indebted to the flesh to keep his desires, but what it deserves is the death sentence and execution. It's the same word Paul uses in Galatians chapter 5, verse 24, where he writes, "And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires." These deeds are dishonoring to God, and the only thing that they deserve is to be put to death. There's a few scriptures that we could look at to show this intensity of dealing with the flesh. In the words of Jesus Christ from Matthew chapter 5, verse 29, he says, "And if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell." So here, Jesus is actually not telling us to cast our eye out or cut off your arm, but it means to deal with sin because of its devastating effects. If an unbeliever does not deal with it and receive the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll be cast fully into hell. But for the believer, we're to deal with it in a radical sense, to completely hate it, despise it, and realize that it deserves a death sentence. That's the attitude that we need to carry in this battle with sin. And it is important to see that we're not passive in this action. The tense of the verb is present, which means to continue to put to death the deeds of the flesh. So it's an ongoing active thing that we participate in. Now, it's not just from our strength or from our own efforts, but it's through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the good news. So there's a blending of the power of the Holy Spirit, but also with our will, surrendering to the prompting and leading of the Spirit of God. We're involved in this process, and it starts with us to repudiate sin and to see that we're not obligated to keep the desires of the flesh. So we wouldn't make any excuse and say, "Oh, well, that's just the way I am," or "I have no control over that." What we need to see is that it needs to be put to death through the power of the Holy Spirit. Martin Lloyd-Jones, in his commentary, writes, "To pull it out, look at it, denounce it, hate it for what it is, then you have really dealt with it." A few other scriptures that we could look at, primarily from the writing of the Apostle Paul, which relate to dealing with the deeds of the body. One is found in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, which reads, "If, then, you were raised with Christ," and that's the work that the Lord has already accomplished, we've been spiritually raised with him and united with him, Then he says, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. So it's a mentality, a mindset that we need to take into this battle as well. First of all, we need to see that sin is evil and it deserves a death penalty, the death sentence, and that's the way it's to be treated. That's the way the desires of the body are to be treated. And then what helps accomplish that is the Holy Spirit, but also the mindset. We set our mind on the things above. This is the same thing that Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, where he writes, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And so we see from these two references that one of the things that's involved is our mind. We're meditating on the proper things. We're setting our mind on the things of God, the things of the Spirit. We find the same thing in Paul's writings in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, where he writes, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So it starts off by realizing that sin has no place in the life of the believer. And the only thing that we're obligated to do with those desires is to put them to death on a constant, continual basis. We do this through the power of the Holy Spirit and by setting our mind on the things of God. I also like what Paul says in Romans 13, verse 14, which reads, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. So we're not to allow any provision. That word provision is a military term, which means to set up camp or a base of operations or a launching point. There should be no place in our life where sin could come in, set up a base of operations to bring in further havoc within our life. So we make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. We do this by putting it to death on an ongoing day-by-day basis. Now, I'm not saying that we do this perfectly or that we'll ever come to a point where we're always putting to death the deeds of the body. It's a battle. Paul's words in Romans 7 definitely attest to that fact. So it's a battle to even the strongest and most mature of saints. But we're not to have the mindset that, well, we'll allow a little bit of sin in our life or compromise here and there. No, we need to put it to death. And as we do that, we are the ones that will experience life. And we'll experience the fullness of life. And that's what Paul means where he says in verse 13, but if, there's the condition, by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For those that live according to the flesh, Paul has earlier said, that leads to death. Those who live according to the flesh and set their minds on the things of the flesh, that leads to death. So we are those that actually by death experience life. Stott, in his commentary, points us out when he writes, there is a kind of life which leads to death, and there is a kind of death which leads to life. And so as we continue to put to death the deeds of this body, we'll experience the fullness of that abundant life that Jesus spoke about. I want to mention one last point, which is extremely important, from Romans 8, verses 12 and 13. Paul in nowhere says that it's the body that needs to be destroyed, but it is the deeds of the body, the desires that rise up. And Stifler, in his commentary in the book of Romans, writes this, the problem of salvation is not how to transmute or change the flesh into something good, but to live with this devilish thing every day without being overcome by it. The presence of the Spirit solves the problem. I love that insight that he brings out. We're not trying to change this body into something good, but we're trying to live with the desires that it has on an ongoing day-by-day basis. And God's answer and only answer to that is by placing the Holy Spirit within us to give us life and power and lead us in the right direction of holiness, as well as supply us with the grace that is needed within this battle. So these two verses are a great challenge and exhortation, but also a great comfort because God has given us the Spirit to help in this battle, to help in this day-by-day struggle with the deeds of the flesh.